Nice to have you back with us, Governor Ventura.
Well, great to be back, Gary. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Could you give us your insights on the domination of lobbying? I'm going to give you several and then just let you ride with it, all right?
Okay.
I'm concerned with the domination of lobbying in Washington, which is, in my opinion, one of the worst things you can do to a democratic process because you no longer then have true democracy. I'd like your thoughts on that. I'd like your hold on. I'm going to give them all, then you just go through them all, all right?
Okay, I may have to have you come back to them because I'll focus on one, and while I focus on one, sometimes I forget the next two. So go ahead.
I want you to focus upon why each and every White House, doesn't matter who occupies it, has failed to address any one of the 20 most important and pressing issues of the day. For example, eliminating the Federal Reserve and letting the Treasury print money so that we don't have to have interest on the money, which would save us $500 billion a year. Just a second one, eliminating all the unnecessary military bases around the world, which would save us over $200 billion a year. And a third would be to reestablish at the states a constitutional amendment to override the Supreme Court's Citizens United, which strips away the public, in my opinion, of their vote, the power of their vote, and allows super PACs to literally control who is selected and who is elected. And nobody in America is ever elected to the presidency before they are selected by a group of insiders. Could we start with those?
Okay. First of all, the lobbying. It's very unfortunate, but we are now controlled completely by lobbyists, and we're controlled by the money, and it's a system of bribery. It's plain and simple. And if we do that as civilians or in the private sector, we go to jail for it. We're charged with a crime. And yet, our entire political system is based upon bribery. And in light, especially, of these recent Supreme Court decision that says money is free speech, and that says that corporations have the same rights as you as an individual, well, that's taken us down the path, as you say, to the super PACs and all this. And what's the worst thing about that? I don't mind unlimited giving to a candidate, but it has to be immediately revealed, full disclosure. That way you as a voter knows who owns this candidate. And I laughingly tell people, I wish we'd pass a law that would require all major candidates in Congress, the Senate, and most definitely the president, and I say this funny, to be required to wear NASCAR racing suits whenever they appear in public on the campaign trail. Because if you look at Jimmy Johnson, who's probably the top NASCAR racer, look at the suit he wears in his car. It's got all the badges or all the patches of everyone who sponsors that particular car and him. And that way we'd be an informed voter as to who owns this politician, who is the big giver to this politician, and who will receive the benefit of this massive financial support. You know, and I think I speak from a position, a good position, because, Gary, I bet I'm the only elected official to major office who, when I ran for governor of Minnesota, I raised less money than what I made doing the job. I only raised $300,000 in 10, 15, 50, $100 donations from regular citizens. I didn't accept any PAC money. I didn't accept any special interest money. And in my 4 years in office, I never once met with a lobbyist. I banned them. The first day in office, I told my staff, I don't have to meet with a lobbyist. They didn't elect me. And so that's the bad thing out there today, you know, is that, like, take, for instance, President Obama. He gets out and he does a speech where he just rails upon Wall Street. And yet, who's his biggest campaign contributor? Goldman Sachs. You know, the hypocrisy of it is astounding.
Isn't there also a problem of the intentional dumbing down of the average American who would actually have the nerve to vote for a complete hypocrite and a delusional person? Let's say it's Romney. Now that we're finding the race very close, and are we not perhaps faced with a hard truth? Simply put, Americans are far too immature and irresponsible to understand what happens when we don't have a true democracy.
Well, maybe that that's the water, Gary, because as you know, they put fluoride in all public water and in most cities and everything. And if you look at fluoride, it's the main ingredient of Prozac. I guess I am like I am is because not by design earlier in my life, but every home I've owned, I've had my own well. And, of course, I've had the University of Minnesota check the water to make sure that the well water is good and it always comes out good. So I haven't ingested all of this Prozac over the years. So I guess that makes me the one who will come out and speak out. But you're essentially correct. And the mainstream media is also part of it. When I ran for governor, all you heard from mainstream media is Jesse can't win. Jesse can't win. Well, I'm fortunate that Minnesotans didn't buy that. In fact, they were offended by it. They felt offended by it. How dare the media tell us someone can't win? Lo and behold, I won. And the same thing held true this year in the Minnesota Republican caucus. Ron Paul won overwhelmingly in Minnesota. He got the nomination overwhelmingly in Minnesota. And going on to Mitt Romney for a moment, well, if people want to elect Mitt Romney, they need to understand they're getting Gordon Gekko from the Wall Street movie, because Mitt Romney, when he's involved with that Bain Financial or whatever they were, that company, that was their job, to go out and do hostile takeovers, make a ton of money, break up companies, and send people to the unemployment line. So when he talks about he's going to be a job creator, well, the only job he's going to create is line jobs, standing in line to get your check from the unemployment office if you're qualified to get it.
Recently, just this past Monday night, we did a 3.5-hour special introducing candidates that the American public is not familiar with. Gary Johnson on the Libertarian Party ticket, former governor. Also, Dr. Jill Stein from Harvard on the Green Party ticket. And Rocky Anderson, the former mayor out in Salt Lake. And they all agreed, and before that, on the show leading up to that, we had Ralph Nader and Dennis Kucinich, two former third-party candidates. Well, actually, Dennis should have ran as third-party, but he ran as a Democrat. In any case, all of them agreed upon a few things. One, we had 20 points I asked them. Hard-hitting questions. Would you decriminalize drugs? Would you let those nonviolent offenders out of jail? Would you stop privatizing public services? Would you stop allowing our national forest to be taken over for clear-cutting and exploration? Would you really stop the subsidies to the major corporations? Would you rewrite the health care laws so that we had, if you wanted private insurance, fine, you could buy it, and that's your right. But if you couldn't, we'd have an independent nonprofit center to help individuals who could not afford it. Would you look at bureaucracy to see are these actually serving the public interest? If they are, good. Then shouldn't they have public oversight? And if they're not, let's get rid of them completely, like the Food and Drug Administration and many of these other corrupt organizations, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which is complete fraud. It's run and controlled 100% by the nuclear industry. And put independent scientists or independent advocates who are expert in, to run something that actually helps people. And why not deconstruct the entire military-industrial spy complex and save $1 trillion a year, but also give us back our rights? Get rid of the Patriot Act, the Homeland Security Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, get rid of these executive orders, and get rid of the drones overseeing our country, and all of them agreed upon that.
I myself would agree with all of that.
But you know, not a single one of those issues is even approached by the media to ask either of these two candidates. So well, what I've done is I've invited President Obama today. I invited President Obama, and I invited Mitt Romney today in a letter to come on this program and to share their points of view, not to debate each other, but share their points of view. How would you reduce death and illness in the United States? We're just taking one subject. If they do one, fine. Because I do remember interviewing Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter on this same topic, believe it or not. I managed to pull that off. And I would ask President Obama, all right, have you actually looked to see how many people might be impacted by the Obamacare in the prevention of illness? I've read the whole thing. There is nothing in there to prevent disease. Why don't you have people who are knowledgeable about prevention, holistic physicians, dietitians, nutritionists, who actually can advocate a national healthcare concept and alternative approaches. I would ask Romney and him the same thing, and let's see if they come on this program. But we're not even talking about the basics. So where is the American media when it comes to seeking out people who would fundamentally change the system, transform it, not just adapt to it? Your thoughts?
Well, here, I can give you probably a good answer on where they are. It was interesting because I heard Dan Rather talk the other day. You know, and Dan Rather, of course, got fired because he reported about George Bush's military record or lack thereof. And essentially, Dan Rather told the truth, and he lost his job over it, which is unbelievable. You go on television, you report a story, and it's completely factual and true, and you get fired. And Rather made the then followed up with something very interesting that ties this all together. He said 20 years ago, there were over 40 independent media outlets in this country. Well, now, due to corporate takeover, you're down to four. And those are the same corporations that give the unlimited amount of money to these candidates from the Democrats and Republicans. So therefore, they're controlling not only the media, they're controlling the candidates also. And it's as simple as that. When you said the word fascism, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I said a couple years ago, we shouldn't be called the United States of America. We should now be called the fascist states of America.
What is your impression that there are tens of millions of us who are not aligned with the political party, but rather aligned with the truth and just voting our truth, selecting and buying foods or beverages, watching television, reading books, getting an education based upon what we want as a truth, not because it's a part of a doctrine. It's honoring someone else's belief system. Why can't the majority of Americans come to grips with that? Only about 15% of us, which is still a lot of people. You're still talking about a substantial number of people, about 30 million of us, who I believe are part of the future and part of the solutions, but the rest are not. They seem oblivious to this, or not only oblivious, they're actually angry if this is brought up.
It's difficult for me to answer a question like that, but I think it would be the situation that they just don't want to know the truth. They have blinders on. They want to believe that their government is there for them. And I think we've lost sight of the fact, one major thing. The government, we're supposed to be the boss. The government is supposed to work for us. And there's a mindset in this country now that somehow the government is the boss and that we work for them.
Well, that's true.
We have to overcome that mindset. The government is not our boss. We are supposed to be the boss of the government. I always love to quote Ben Franklin when it deals with Homeland Security and all that nonsense. Ben Franklin said, those that will give up their liberty for security shall have and deserve neither. Because the fact is, government cannot make you safe without taking away your freedom. It's an oxymoron. And yet everyone wants to say, oh, government, please make me safe, make me safe. Well, when they make you safe, the only way that can happen is to lock you down and take away your freedoms. And I personally would rather have freedom than safety.
Good for you. I would agree with that. Just two more questions.
Sure.
The other night, I suggested, though it's too late in this particular cycle to do this, I suggested to each of the candidates that at the end of this effort, come the election, where one might get 1%, I'm assuming that the Greens will get 2%, the Justice Party get 1%. I'm assuming the highest anyone will get will be the Libertarians, maybe as high as 9%. But I said after that, why don't you think about just dropping these parties and just joining a common effort where you all work together, including bringing Ron Paul's 10 or 12 million young idealistic students together. Then you become a formidable voice in the next election cycle where you're going to be up against Hillary Clinton. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, I tried to do that in Minnesota. You know, Minnesota is probably the mecca for lack of a better term, the third or fourth or fifth party movement. You know, I won as an independent. Ron Paul won the Republican caucus here this year overwhelmingly. We have the Green Party. We have all these parties. When I was governor, I brought them all together. And I said, look, we can't win consistently when we all go our separate ways. We have to unite. Isn't there something that we can all unite on and carry ourselves forward? And I found that. It's campaign finance. Because all of these other minor parties, if I use that description, all believe what I believe, that they don't take PAC money, they don't take special interest money. So couldn't that be the glue that puts us all together? It was ridiculous, because every party wanted to be on top, and it went nowhere. And I was just baffled as the governor. I thought, you're never going to win when we're this fragmented. You know, we can't be fragmented, and that's the unfortunate truth of it. They won't come together because one of them has to be the lead. One of them wants to be told they're the lead, or the major group of the minor parties, or whatever it might be. I don't know why, Gary, but I made a huge effort to do that in Minnesota. And as I said, Minnesota, to me, is the mecca of the third-party movement, if
okay.
you want to call it that.
You've defined that argument well, and I appreciate that. My final comment is really a question. There's two types of information each day that we should be paying attention to: the mainstream, which gives us what they want us to understand, and then they create the arguments. But what about the other media, the internet media? And I'm going to share a few headlines with you to tell you what's not being covered by any of the mainstream media, all right?
Sure.
Then you give me your feedback on this. This is from Global Exchange, how the green economy has been hijacked by the greed economy. Very interesting article about talking about 1,000 dead dolphins laying on a beach and what happened to them. And then it goes to the offshore exploration in that area. They killed the anchovies, and that caused the food chain disruption of the birds that ate. And then it caused also the disruption of the in the Peruvian coast, and it caused the disruption of the whole ecological system. This was published in a major journal, but no one paid attention to it. Also, Syngenta, that's one of the major genetic engineering companies like Monsanto, they're charged with covering up livestock deaths, cow deaths, that ate genetically modified corn. And that was from the Institute of Science and Society. Nothing. Nothing about that in American media. Like, if you're a big polluter, you're a big somebody, nothing you're going to get in the bad news. This is another one. Banks and financial institutions are still funding cluster bomb-making companies with billions of dollars. This is Common Dreams, and here's what it says. It says that they have financial institutions have invested more than $43 billion in companies making cluster bombs just in the last 2 years. By the way, cluster bombs are against the law. They're against international treaties. Who are these banks? Well, how about AIG, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, and Goldman Sachs? So I would have asked, if I was on that committee, why are you supporting the use of an illegal weapon, cluster bombs? But again, nothing about all the major banks and corporations investing in cluster bombs that are against international treaties. Then we have, this is interesting, this is Gaza's water, quote, unfit to drink for anyone. And it talks about how 1.1 million people living in Gaza have no clean water, that it's they can't get the equipment because of the blockade to filter their water. And as a result, everyone in Gaza is at risk because they're drinking feces-contaminated water, chlorine and nitrate-contaminated water from the runoff of fertilizers. And according to the World Health Organization, this is 1,000% higher than what is considered at the low end of safety. So not a single word in the American media, not a word could I find about how 1.1 million people are developing diseases and children are dying because of a contaminated water. Then pesticides and herbicides destroying bees, crops, and water and soil. This is from the EPA. Not a word about it. Also, is your ocean too acidic? This is from the Environmental Magazine. It talks about emissions polluting the water, and this is causing the complete, quote, corrosion, threatening shellfish, corals, and the entire ocean food web. And this is goes into great depth about how our oceans have become cesspools, and it's not safe to eat any fish from them. Not a word in the mainstream media. And then here's a big one. This is one no one knew. Members of the banking community had conflicts of interest, according to a GAO report. Quote, banks and businesses took $4 trillion, Jesse, that's with a T, trillion dollars. Who were they? Quote, more than $4 trillion in zero-interest Federal Reserve loans and other financial assistance went to banks and businesses, with at least 18 current and former Federal Reserve regional bank directors in the aftermath. That meant that the people who sat on the board of the Federal Reserve banks took $4 trillion for their own banks. $4 trillion. And yet not a word about the self-serving. And gee whiz, the head of J.P. Morgan Chase sits on the board of the New York Federal Reserve and then decides that they get hundreds of billions in dollars in interest-free loans. Not a word. Also, the whole what they're calling the cyber industrial complex. This is this ever-growing militarization of security and taking away our rights. Who's behind this? Quote from Politico. Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and other defense and tech companies have been lobbying Capitol Hill about growing cyber threats to national security in corporate America, but they're also making the hundreds of millions of dollars each year selling a variety of cyber security programs, tools, and solutions. Some lawmakers say the legislative push has spawned a cyber industrial complex. So, as you said, we don't have a real threat to our national security, but these people saw a way of using their positions of power and influence to get billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in taxpayer money, and also to go with it to make sure Americans stay afraid. They keep this lie afront. Now, all these stories I told you are all within the last 2 days. Not one of them has been in a single one of the American major American media. Why?
Well, again, we go back to the corporations and what I spoke of earlier with Dan Rather. You got four major corporations that control everything we hear and see in the mainstream media. And there's also, let me add this, there's this core belief amongst, I'll refer to them as the elites, the power brokers. I forget who the guy was, but he made a thing that the planet Earth can only sustain 3 billion people. And there's this belief, well, we're already up to 6 to 7 billion. So I think that there's a concerted effort to cut down the population of the world so that those who believe in this theory believe that the world can only sustain 3 billion. And we're already at 7. So there's a move to remove about 4 billion of the people. Maybe that's the tie in there. And then the other thing that's very interesting, the recession we're in since 08 right now, recession, depression, whatever you'd like to call it, and I show this in my book, it's interesting, 99% of us lost wealth, I included, Gary, I'm sure you did also, during this last recession. Yeah. Everybody did, except for the upper echelon, probably less than that 1%. The huge wealthy people, you know what happened to them during the last recession? They increased their value and wealth 5 times. So in other words, if you were worth $20 billion, you're now worth $100 billion. I believe these recessions are all created by them in lockstep with the Federal Reserve and whoever else is involved in this stuff at the high upper echelon level. They create these recessions so that they can accumulate more and more wealth. And the attack on unions today, naturally unions have been abused. There's no doubt about it. But people need to understand it is unions that created the middle class, the American dream in America. And as unions disappear, so does the middle class.
Well, Jesse, we thank you for coming on the show. I would look at it just slightly differently. I would say the unmitigated greed, assuming that they had no boundaries or proprietary, the consequence of their action has led us to this devastating place, and we are fighting back. You are one of the principal spokespersons as an independent thinker. Thank you very much for coming on, and all the best with your new
Gary,
book.
Let me add again, for all the Ron Paul people, for the 90% that are unhappy with Congress, which polls say, please go vote for Gary Johnson, the libertarian. If you want to strike out and you want to be heard and rattle the cage, if Gary Johnson could get 20% of the vote, it would send a shockwave through the Democrats.
Well, we can't do any endorsement of specific candidates.
I do.
Okay. All right. Jesse, thank you for being on today.
Thank you, Gary.
All the best.